Ambassador Roy, welcome to our program. U.S. and China have just finished the ninth round of trade talks with new progress. How would you assess the efforts by both sides to achieve these breakthroughs? And what do you think a healthier trade and economic relationship with China means to the U.S.?
I think that all of the evidence suggests that China and the United States are deeply engaged in very serious efforts to find a mutually satisfactory way of putting our trade and investment relations on a sounder basis. And I think that this effort has been long overdue. I strongly oppose the tariffs. I was born in the middle of the Great Depression, and when I studied economics in college, high tariffs were not seen as the way to promote the rapid development of your economy. And I continue to think that's correct economics. So I think these are important negotiations. I think that both countries are being hurt by the tariff imposition, and I think both leaders want us to come up with a satisfactory agreement. My reaction to what happened last Thursday, where people were expecting an agreement and then they didn't get it, is that when you stop and think about it, that was probably smart. If there were questions that still needed to be worked out, you don't want to announce an agreement and then leave the details to be worked out after the agreement is reached. There's an old saying that the devil is in the details. And I know myself from negotiating experience that that's true. If you leave an important issue unaddressed, it's harder to correct it after you've reached agreement on the other aspects. So my feeling is that extending the negotiations for another period of time is the right way to handle the issue. As long as the evidence suggests that probably they're able to reach an agreement, but need more time to be sure that the details are properly worked out.
Thank you. This year marks the 40th anniversary of the establishment of diplomatic relations between U.S. and China. As the former U.S. ambassador to China, how would you assess the overall bilateral relationship between U.S. and China at this stage and into the future, and also its impact on the world?
I think there are still lots of areas where China and the United States need to cooperate. I made a point at the morning session about how we go through phases when we are very practical in the way we look at the international situation, and we go through other phases when we're very ideological in the way we look at it. At the moment, I see us as in an ideological phase, where if China's getting stronger, we're panicky about what this means for us. This is not the basis for managing our relationship with China. I think it would be an immoral policy for the United States, incompatible with U.S. traditions, for us to be against the ability of China to improve the living standards of its people and to be able to defend itself more effectively. So I think that's the wrong way to look at the problem, and that's what concerns me about the current state of the relationship. I do not see any issues out there that good diplomatic approaches would not be capable of containing in a fashion that was that kept them manageable. And again, I go back to Mao's saying, you can't resolve contradictions, but you can manage them. And if you manage them properly, then the consequences are not negative in terms of your interests.
China vows to further its reform and opening up in an all-round way, but obviously the U.S. side is quite picky over China's opening up. So how would you look at the disparity in understanding between the two sides, and what's your view on China's reform and opening up process?
I think China's reform and openness process is the biggest historical event in China's history, because it has enabled China in an unbelievably small period of time to go from a relatively weak country that did not reflect either China's historical traditions or the interests of its own people, and now China has become one of the leading countries of the world. So I think reform and openness has been outstandingly good for China. But it has also raised some issues for China. China is a different country now. It has a more modernized economy. You have a much better educated population. You have now a very large middle class. You have urbanized the country. It's no longer rural, the majority. It's now an urban majority in China. And that means that China needs to adapt and adjust so that the pressures do not get out of control.
Later this April, the second Belt and Road Forum for International Cooperation, or we say BFR, will be held in Beijing. How much progress do you think the China proposed Belt and Road Initiative has achieved as of now? And does the U.S. side attach more or less interest to this initiative and why?
I think this began under the Obama administration. I think the U.S. handling of the Belt and Road Initiative has been wrong from the beginning. I think it was a positive initiative. I think when China set up the Asia Infrastructure Investment Bank, it was a good move because China based the setting up of the bank on the concepts that lay behind the Asia Development Bank, behind the World Bank, and other successful development banks in the world. And the infrastructure needs of the world are overwhelmingly large. Right here in the United States, I wish that the Belt and Road Initiative would bring some projects to the United States to get our subways running and our roads not closed down because of the size of the potholes. So infrastructure is really important, and the Belt and Road Initiative can make an important contribution to addressing that problem. But I think China is discovering that when you try to help other people, you run into all sorts of problems. It's not easy to help people, and so I think the Belt and Road Initiative is an enormous learning experience for China. And so I think China is inevitably reconsidering the right way to handle the many projects that are flowing out of the Belt and Road Initiative. I think that's a natural development. Get started, see what the problems are, then reconsider, not the program necessarily, because the infrastructure needs are still there. But you have to keep adjusting in order to find the best way to accomplish the purpose you're trying to accomplish and not have the money diverted into purposes that are not those intended in the original project.
Thank you, Ambassador Roy, for spending time with us and sharing with us your insights. Thank you.
Okay.